Good evening, everyone. I'm going really well, thanks. My name's Pete. Well, tonight I'm talking about joy. I chose joy because Dave told me to talk about it. But I was allowed to pick my own psalm to talk about. So I was looking through the different psalms and reading through them, and I've chosen one, which I will get to. But first, I thought I'd just share with you a little story from when I was younger. You know what? As you get older, there are certain things where it's really in your face that you're getting a bit older. Hey, Dave. I had one of those times at work where I was listening to, I work at Queensland Health, and we have the radio on often. I was listening to the radio and they said, now we're going to play a classic. And they played a Bon Jovi song that I listened to when I was a teenager. And it was right at that moment that I went, when did the songs that I listened to as a teenager become classics? That, and I felt older straight away. But so when I was younger, I had this mate called Michael. And Michael and I used to like finding new music. We were kind of into heavy metal music at the time, but if you listen to it today, you kind of go, that doesn't sound very heavy metal at all. So this band came out called Bon Jovi when we were teenagers, and I grew up in Tamworth, and Tamworth is big enough, I think it's about 80,000 people now, but at that time it was a bit smaller than that. But it's big enough that it has a radio station that goes all over Tamworth, but it's still small enough that you could ring up at the time and say, I want to request a song. So they said, are there any songs that anybody would like to request tonight? So my mate Michael and I, we thought, yeah, we're going to do it. We're going to request a song. So we hopped on and we got through, which was great. And we said to them, look, there's this new band called Bon Jovi, and we want to request any songs that you have from them for our girlfriends. So just say, from Pete and Michael to their girlfriends. And they said, well, we've only got two Bon Jovi songs here in the radio station. Don't care. Play them. Dedicate it to our girlfriends. Boop. So we sat around, listened to the radio for a while, and eventually it come on. This is from Pete and Michael to their girlfriends, and the two songs they played was, the first one was She Don't Know Me, and the second one was You Give Love a Bad Name. And that's a true story. And, well, I learned there's no coming back from it. Because all of Tamworth heard it, you know. Yeah, we went to school that week and like, yeah, that didn't go really well. Hanging out by ourselves for a while. But yeah, I learned from that when you do something and, you know, in a very public way, it can go wrong in a public way. And some things that we do in life don't go how we planned them. And sometimes we feel like there's no coming back from that. And it's interesting that what I want to talk about tonight, it kind of resonates with some for our sin and iniquity and so forth. I chose a psalm that doesn't sound like it's a psalm of joy. But when David was writing this psalm, and he had lots of regrets. He'd done lots of things wrong, some publicly, some not so publicly. Now, the psalm I'm going to look at is Psalm 32. And some people think that when David wrote this, that he was lamenting the fact that he had this affair with a lady called Bathsheba. He saw her bathing and he decided, it doesn't matter that she's married, I really like her. And he went to bed with her, and then he had her husband killed by putting her husband on the front line of the army. And he regretted, of course he regretted that for the rest of his life. And so in this psalm, some people think that this is David regretting that action. And that could be true. There might be other things that were going on in this psalm. There might have been other regrets as well. But the fact is there were things going on in David's life when he was writing this where he's going, that wasn't right. And you know what? If I leave that, it's going to eat me up inside. So I want to read this psalm out. Psalm 32 said, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds a man who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." Dear Lord, we just want to pray that you speak to our hearts tonight as we reflect on your word, and that you would speak in a real powerful, deep and meaningful way to us, in a way that helps us to step forward from where we are right now into a deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So when I was looking through the Psalms, I decided to choose this one, which isn't really obviously about joy. There's lots of other Psalms where people are raising their hands and clapping and talking about joy and the joy of the Lord. And this one less so, but I think it takes us on a bit of a journey as to how to get there, how to get to this place of joy. Now, we all know that no one is perfect. Not one of us in this room are perfect. So none of us could stand up and say, I'm perfect. I've done nothing wrong. I'm amazing. But all of us want joy. So, you know, as I was looking at this and I was thinking about joy, I was thinking about all the times I've heard about joy and people speaking to me about joy. And one of my frustrations sometimes when I hear things is I don't really like surface level stuff. You know, surface level stuff when you hear a topic talked about and everybody's like, oh yeah, just do it, and then you're, oh, that's awesome, and then you all go home and you go, ah, I can't do it, I can't do it, and it's all over. It lasts about 24 hours. So I wanted to think about what is joy really? How do you leave here, go back to your job or school or uni or wherever you are tomorrow, and continue that journey towards joy? And to work that out, I had to try and think about what are the things that stop joy. And as I thought about that, that's why I chose this psalm. Because I think David shows very clearly, here's a bunch of things that are going to stop you being joyful in the Lord. He says at the beginning of the psalm that he had transgressions. He had sin. And he felt it. He felt it deeply inside. In verse 3, David says, "When I kept silent, my bones wasted away." And I don't have to explain how that feels, because I think anybody that has lived life for any period of time knows what it's like when you are so worried, when you're so upset, when you're so hurt that you go to bed at night and you just think, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. and you can't sleep, and you have things going around in your mind again and again, and sometimes it's because of situations that we're thrown into, sometimes it's because of things that we've done that we hold secret that we just can't tell anybody, and we hang on to those things, and it's really hard to reach a point of joy when we have all of this stuff in our life. So I don't think that it's enough to stand here tonight and say, we've just got to all have joy. Go and be joyful. It just doesn't happen like that. Because when we think like that, it doesn't last very long. It's real short-lived. There's something deeper happening here, and there's something really deep happening for David. And he had to let all of this go. He had to come to the point where he came before God and said, look, God knows anyway what's in our hearts, but to actually verbalize it and say, God, these are the things that I have done that I've been keeping to myself. I can't do it anymore. I feel like I'm wasting away. And I need you to see these things. I need to lay this out before you, because if I don't, I will never move beyond this point. And I'll never have joy. I might have some happy moments, but I'll never have joy. So I need to lay all this out before you. Now, to do that, you need to be able to trust God that He will still love you and be there for you when you lay them out. Now, I'm sure that maybe most people here who have ever learnt to drive, you know, get the old L plate, whack it on the car, have got some funny stories about when they were starting to learn to drive. And so we could all probably stand up and say, yeah, I remember when. When I was learning to drive, my older sister. This has been recorded, eh? I can let her listen to it. Yeah. So I remember when my older sister was learning to drive. Our family had two cars. We had Dad's car, which was the Ford Falcon. You don't touch the Ford Falcon. Whenever we wanted a new car, we didn't go out and say, what car are we going to buy? It's like there's a new Ford Falcon. But then we had the other car that was for the kids that they would learn to drive in. It was a little Mini, and it was really bad. Now, I'm not kidding. One day it was raining and my mum had the windscreen wipers on and one of them flew off, and we had to stop the car and she made me get out in the rain to pick up the windscreen wiper to put it back on. So my sister was learning to drive and she'd just got a P's and she said, Pete, we're going into town. So we lived about 10 k's from the centre of Tamworth. And so we went into Tamworth, we did some shopping and stuff, and then Mary said, we're going home, okay, we'll hop into the car, let's go, Mary. And so we drove home, and Mary was really hitting the accelerator, you know, get this Mini going. And then when we got home, I hopped out of the car and go, something smells funny. Smells like the car's on fire. And then she goes, oh, I had the handbrake on the whole way home, 10 k's. The handbrake didn't work real well. Oh, it didn't work real well before that, but it worked less well after that. Wasn't great. But the reason I tell you that is that I think David worked out, and what he wants you to work out when David was writing this psalm is what he wants you to work out is, if we don't come to that place where we go, God, I've done a few things wrong and I haven't got it right, and we bring it before God and lay it all out, if we don't ever get to that place, we'll be living our whole life with the handbrake on. And that's as good as it's going to get. And David realized that. It's not an easy thing for a guy that's the king to say I did all of these things wrong. And so he laid it all out before the Lord. I really think the words there are really powerful when he was just sitting in all of these things that were shrouded in secrecy and they were hidden. When he's saying, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. There really sounds like such a burden on his shoulders. Living like that every day. And so he got to the point where he came before the Lord. Because it says here then in verse 5, then I acknowledge my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. They're amazing words, aren't they? Did not cover up my iniquity. In other words, I came before you, God, and everything was up for grabs. My deepest, darkest thoughts, the things that I've done when no one's looking, all the secret, horrible things that I've done, all of that was laid bare because David knew that that's the only way to get from here to there. And that hasn't changed. We can only get from this place to that place and start talking about joy when we bring all that rubbish and we lay it before God. And all of us have it. And we continue through life. And sometimes we think we can hide it away. And that maybe there's a different way, there's a shortcut, there's a different pathway, and that we can just hide it all away and we'll be okay and they'll be okay and God will be okay and everything will be amazing. But it doesn't work like that. There's no shortcut. There's a door, there's a pathway that we need to walk through, and that's to come before God and say, look, I really wreck things. But it's a really difficult thing to do because we hide things. And we hide who we are, and we hide things that we're ashamed of because we don't want others to see those terrible things about us, and we don't want God to see those terrible things about us. We don't really parade around in life proclaiming all the horrible things we did wrong. Can you imagine walking into somebody's house? Like when we walk into somebody's house, they go, look, here's a trophy that I earned. And I got that for winning, and here's the certificate I got. And we have all these things around our house to actually show everybody how great we are. We don't invite people into our house and go, well, that's the time I fell over and landed on my face. And here's a few other really massive mistakes I've made in my life, and I've got them all in a display cabinet because I thought it would help people to go through them even better so they could have a really good look at everything. Like, we don't do that. When we come before other people, we have people over, when we talk to people, we like to make them think that we're a half-decent person and that we've had some achievements in our life, and so we put those things out there. My point is that it's not natural for us, it's rowing against the current to say, okay, here are all the mistakes that I've made. Here are all the secret things. Here are all the hidden things. And so, like David says in this psalm, all the things that consume us, all the things that make us live with guilt, all the things that make us think that we're not good enough, that we're not good enough for other people. We may think we're not good enough for our parents. We may think we're not good enough for our friends, and certainly not good enough for God. The things that consume us. And so we carry all of this stuff. We grab all of this stuff and we put it over our shoulder and we carry it with us every day and we walk around with it. And it burdens us down. And life can get really exhausting when you're carrying all of that stuff around, because it does impact the way that you relate to the world around you and the people around you. And to pick it up every day and to carry it around and to take all that effort to try and hide it and put on a face. So David says, I've had enough. Here it is. So sometimes when people think of major characters in the Bible and they think about major mistakes they made, many people refer to this mistake that David made. But David brought it before God and he said, "Here, I want you to deal with it." And so tonight I want to encourage you to do the same. You don't need to tell me. You don't need to tell anybody else. You can if you feel it helps. But to at least come before God and say, "Look, here's all the stuff that, God knows, it's all hidden in my life. It's all there. And I just want to bring all of this before you because I want to get to that place of joy." Doesn't sound like a very joyful sermon at the moment. No. we'll get there. So to bring all of that stuff before God. And I really want to encourage you because no matter how much I stand here and talk about joy, if we're not willing to take that bold step and threatening step, then we'll never get there. And so I want to encourage you to bring that to God today, tonight, to lay it down before Him. And so then what happens? Well, here's the part where we get to the joy. What happens when we do that? I love these verses where it says in verse 10, "Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love, so the Lord's love never, ever, ever fails." Unfailing love never fails. What happens if I bring all this rubbish before God and He goes, "Nah, like if I'd known about that, yeah, I wouldn't have said all those words about I love you." You know, God's not going to do that. God's love is unfailing. And then it goes on. The Lord's unfailing love surrounds. I love that. It surrounds us. It's around us all the time. The amount of times when I look through the Psalms, and the Psalms use words such as fortress and refuge and like the Lord's surrounding. It's just all through the Psalms. The Psalms are about God is my security. I know I'm safe. I know I'm cared for. I know God loves us. He's my fortress. He's my refuge. His unfailing love surrounds me. He's always there. So when David brought all of this stuff before God, the Lord's unfailing love surrounded the man who trusts in Him. And we have to trust in God to bring all of these things. And it doesn't say that the person who brings all this stuff before God and His unfailing love surrounds them is a perfect person. These verses don't say that. No verses say that. That God will love you as long as you step up and meet the perfection mark. It doesn't say that. All it says is that God will love the person who comes and trusts in Him. And we can all do that. We can all do that. And then when we hand everything over to Him, all of this stuff, God will be with us. He'll be with us always. In verse 11 it says, "Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." How can David say that? David's just been saying that he made at the beginning of this psalm, he was saying he made all these mistakes, all this sin, all these problems, couldn't sleep at night. Here we are. And he's still writing the same psalm, and he's got to the end, and now he's saying, "All you who are upright in heart, rejoice in the Lord, be glad," and he calls them "you righteous." So what a change. And what's changed is that he's brought everything before God. And when we do, God will be with us. He won't let you down. He won't go, "Well, that's not good enough." He will say, "Oh, I'm good enough to be able to cover all of that and to allow you to move forward and let you know that you are loved all the days of your life." And so let go of that burden and let the unfailing love of the Lord surround you. Now that sounds like joy to me. That sounds like the joy that won't disappear when you have a bad day on Tuesday or later towards the end of the week when something goes really bad or heaven forbid, you're nearly in a car accident or anything like that. That sounds like the type of joy that will be with us always, because we are open and we are transparent before God, who sees all anyway, and God surrounds us with his unfailing love. And that's my prayer for all of you, that you would know God's unfailing love surrounding you like a fortress, because you just have a transparent and open and honest relationship with your Lord and Savior. Then you will know joy like you've never known before. I just want to pray. Dear Lord, we want to thank you that you care so much for us, that you love us so much, that even whilst we were still sinners, Lord, you died for us. And Lord, you are our Creator and our King. You're our Savior. And Lord, we just want to worship you. We want to offer you our lives, because we know that our lives are safe in your hands. And so, Lord, tonight we once again bring our lives before you. We lay them down at your feet. And Lord, just say sorry for all that we've done. But we know that your love and your grace constantly transforms us to be the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.